Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, recording on Sunday afternoon, February 18th, 2024. And my guests today are two old bees and a newbie. They are Corey, Ryan Forrester, Amy Miller, and Jordan Morris. Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Doug.
Hi, Buzz Buzz. It's me, the new bee. How do you make honey?
Oh, no, I didn't know you were an actual bee. It's just an expression that I use.
Right. Yes. It's a fun coincidence. And I'm so new, I don't even know how to make honey.
What do you think about, do you have opinions about the Cheerios Honey Nut Bee or the Nasonex Bee? Like, is it tough to be a bee in the media these days?
Yeah. Great question. And thank you for letting me just take a moment to address bee representation issues, because it's so important. I just want my bee daughters to see themselves when they, you know, turn on various commercials. So, I will say that the Honey Nut Cheerios bee claims to be a bumblebee, but he's actually just a honey bee in Bumbleface.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's really, totally a shame.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Just another thing to be upset about. Well, let's move on to meeting everyone individually and alphabetically by first name. She's a highly sought after podcast guest. Amy Miller is there.
Yay.
Wherever you are, Amy. How's it going?
Good. Doug means something very different when he calls me an old bee.
Oh, no. It's an ant bee.
I'm good. I'm in Los Angeles for once. It's nice.
I just realized for the first time that Aunt Bee from the Andy Griffith Show, that her first name was an ant, one bug, and her last name was Bee, another insect, Aunt Bee.
That's true.
Her middle name was Mantis.
I can only hope that's true. He's a returning champion, ready to be knocked off his high horse. It's Corey Ryan Forrester.
That's right. I'm all the way up here, ready to be knocked off. Doug, hello. And I wanted to tell you that I took your recommendation. I saw Heaven Can Wait, and it was awesome.
Isn't that crazy how good that is?
It's so good. And can I tell you my favorite part that I noticed immediately and loved? It's that Warren Beatty never, as soon as he finds out that he's dead, he immediately goes, I've got to get to the Super Bowl. He doesn't go, oh my God, my family, my girl, like none of that. Like he doesn't say, let me go check on my mom. He's just like, I got to whip this old rich man into shape.
The afterlife is real.
It was, I loved, dude, that movie was like almost perfect.
Yeah, it made me like, you know, kind of as a young man, it made me a little sad, the, you know, the whole concept of heaven and everything and how like you just have to be persuasive to get to come back down to earth, but that you've got to be in some, you got to be in a new body to do it. So then kind of defeats the purpose because you're probably coming back because you still want to be you, you know?
Right.
So, so yeah, so that's all he had. It's just he's still too important. The Super Bowl is too important.
Oh, also that the trainer totally didn't give a shit that the other quarterback died in the Super Bowl. Didn't care at all.
Yeah, no, he just knew it was going to be a great spot for his dead friend to step in. It is, but it's just like, it is, all the actors in it are terrific. It's just got a tone to it that's just like, it's so... The whole movie's so self-assured. I mean, it's like kind of a team of talented people because it was co-directed by Warren Beatty and Elaine May, and Buck Henry is in there as a writer and an actor. And but like James Mason is such a smooth, you know, Mr. Jordan, the dude that runs Heaven, and what's his name? Charles Grodin's so funny.
So he's awesome.
Murderous son-in-law or whatever his wish was. But anyway, I could talk about Heaven Can Wait forever, but I'm glad I recruited one more person to the Heaven Can Wait squad. And your paperwork will arrive in a few days, Corey.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug.
And joining us for the first time, but for a long time, I don't know what that means, is Jordan Morris. Hey, Jordan.
Hi, Doug. Yeah, I'm looking forward to a long-ass episode. Let's make this a Springsteen concert, huh? No opener, no. 3 hours, all I'm the out. Hits.
Yeah, I think the people that appreciate this podcast, part of it is just the tightness of it. Like, it's, you know... You know what you're going to get before you get into it. But in addition to podcasting yourself, Jordan Morris, you also have a new graphic novel out called Youth Group.
Yes, that's true. I can chat a little bit more about it in the
podcast. Yeah, tell us about it if you want.
No, I'll do it. Hell, I'll do it now. Youth Group. It is a YA horror comedy about teenage exorcists. The art's about by the great Bowen McGurdy. It is available for pre-order now. And it's kind of set in one of these like cool Bible study groups for teens. I don't know if anybody else was a part of one of these things where like the youth pastor like has tattoo sleeves and he sits backwards on the chair and tells you about a pretty cool guy named JC who was pretty punk rock.
I was a real Christian, but that sounds fun.
I smoked a couple cigarettes back in my day, guys.
I know what it's like to want to French a woman. Yeah.
And I will someday.
When I am good and married to her. So I grew up
in Evan's not waiting for that guy.
Yeah, I grew up going to one of these things, and the kind of premise of the graphic novel is like, what if these doofuses had to do exorcisms? So it's all these kind of goofy wannabe hip Christians having to actually fight demons and stuff. And yeah, it's available for pre-order wherever you get your books, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or better yet, your local indie bookstore.
Well, you know, I'm glad we got that over with, because this is not Doug Loves Books. I did think about starting a Doug Loves graphic novels though, but I just didn't feel like I knew enough about the topic. But before we play our games today, I got a couple of games worked out for everybody. First, let's visit Recommendation Nation. That's where I get a recommendation out of each one of my guests, but this is the Best Picture Oscar edition. I'd like each of you to answer this question. Start with you, Amy. Which nominee for Best Picture, and I got a list of all 10 names if you need refreshed, you need refreshing, but sure. Which movie do you think of the nominees for Best Picture is most uplifting and why?
Barbie.
Amy, do you have, you went right for Barbie? You genuinely found Barbie uplifting?
I did, yeah. I thought it wasn't on the list, but now I'm glad to find out it is. That's tight. just like this podcast, so tight.
Yeah, Barbie's right there. All you got to do is get to like the third title alphabetically, and you got yourself a Barbie for Best Picture. And I certainly think it is the most continuously uplifting. Like the whole movie's sort of fun and supportive of various things. The reason I'm even asking this is just because I find that the movie that wins Best Picture, instead of being what it's not the most uplifting necessarily, it's the one that everyone can agree was the most, spoke to them enough to be considered the best. So it's kind of either watered down movies or just heavy dramas that everybody agrees is the best picture. It's rare. So I'm looking for, like, is any of these movies genuinely uplifting? And so you feel like Barbie was for you, Amy?
It was, but to be honest, I'm behind on the list. I, like, just started catching up. So some of these I haven't seen.
That's my feeling, too.
They look like real bummers.
Yeah. Well, that's why I haven't seen a lot of them. I think I've seen the fun ones. American Fiction is supposed to be pretty fun, but it's still got a heavy, it's got a serious message. And the rest of them, there's some pretty heavy movies.
Is that movie where the lady maybe pushes her husband off the roof?
Anatomy of a Fall. Because
then I picked that.
I saw that recently. I think it is a great movie, and it is uplifting in the sense that it'll give you faith in the French justice system.
Oh, okay. So we're skipping ahead to you, Jordan. That's your answer, or do you think there's another one that's more uplifting in the field?
Yes, Anatomy of a Fall, absolutely not uplifting. Absolutely a great movie. Barbie, absolutely. It's a blast. It's a hoot. We all love it. I'll stump for The Holdovers. I think The Holdovers is a great feel-good movie. It's a very kind of classic dramedy. I think the inspiration is like, Being There and that kind of, that kind of 70s dramedy. And yeah, it's fantastic. It's got some kind of dark humor. It's got some dark moments, but I don't know. Left me feeling really great. It's a pretty cozy, funny, terrific movie.
I wished I'd watched it around the holidays, because I didn't get around to seeing it until a couple weeks ago. And I know it's not like a Christmassy in the sense that it's like a Christmas movie, but it does take place over the holidays. So I think, and especially anybody that doesn't have family or does get stuck somewhere, it'd be interesting watch, but I think nobody was really promoting it that way. They were basically already just positioning it as, best picture material.
I think it is a great Christmas movie. It does take place at Christmas, has a lot of Christmas stuff in it, and also Paul Giamatti tries to break into Nakatomi Plaza. So, yeah, that's a fun little segment of the movie.
All right, so Corey, does that leave you?
Yeah, that was going to be my answer
high
as well.
Dry? You're not going to say Oppenheimer? I know you're a big fan.
No, I am a big fan, but I was going to go with The Holdovers, and I was going to say, like, when you first start watching the movie, I don't know if you know that it's going to end up being uplifting, because there's a lot of, there's a lot of dark stuff there. Like, clearly the kid's super depressed, and we find out a lot of the why during the movie. Giamatti is a loner. We, find out a lot of his backstory of, why he's kicked out of school. The poor mom whose son died in Vietnam. There's a lot of grim stuff in there. But ultimately, it's sort of like, it really mirrors Dead Poets Society in so many ways, in terms of like, it's this professor and student realizing how much they have in common, and one, like, you know, there's no suicide, which is nice, which mean it can make it an uplifting movie, you know, but at the end, you really, it leaves you with a good taste in your mouth of like, hey, I think this kid's going to be all right. And because he found someone, this older person who believes in him, and he feels seen in the world. And I think that Giamatti, regardless of all of his failings, and maybe he didn't live up to what he feels his true potential is, realize, hey, I helped a kid, and who gives a shit? That's what it's all about. So, like, I walked away from the Holdovers with a smile on my face. And, like, I guess I did with Barbie, too, but not, like, any sort of, like, real-world messaging, whereas, like, the Holdovers, I did. And, yeah, I mean, dude, Oppenheimer made me want to shoot myself. But, like, cinematically, it was great.
Right, I guess you could say it was... What?
Barbie's for girls.
Hold on. I loved Barbie. I
hold
fucking
on a minute.
Loved
Listen Barbie. Here. Let me tell you, as a man, I need to tell you how much Barbie meant to me.
I loved it. How about all those Ken
parts? Good, but
huh?
I didn't see any uplifting messages in it about anything I could tell.
I heard America Ferrera had an uplifting message, but I was at the snack bar during that part.
Yeah. We make the men leave during that part.
Could you imagine? That'd be so great.
Or like, we just want to create a safe space
that
for
they're
women.
Not going to admit that they saw that.
Killer, and I've since told you that I think that Killers of the Flower Moon was actually better than Oppenheimer, but that might be the hardest watch of all time. It might be the least uplifting movie that's ever been made.
Yeah, I really don't look forward to it at all.
It's great. It is great. Yeah, I really loved it. Again, yeah, some tough stuff and some tough stuff about history in there. But man, what a movie.
What
do
we
do? God.
Oh, boy.
Doug, you want to watch it on the phone together?
It's mainly people that look and sound like me, if that makes you feel better, Doug.
No, it doesn't.
So they look like me, too, then, probably. I don't know what you look like, but
where
I'm
you
just
from?
Guessing. Oh, yeah. I'm from Oakland.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I'm from Chickamauga, Georgia, so we're worse.
Yeah, there is a...
I don't think Corey can get through a podcast without saying Chickamauga.
Also, don't know what you look like. We are not using Dio. There is a montage in Killers of Flower Moon of people, of guys who sound a lot like Corey, just getting
to it. I was about to say, I don't think you have to have video to ascertain at least a little bit of what I look like based on what I sound like.
You've got a half shirt that says dump them out, right?
Yes, I do.
We mentioned American Fiction briefly. Zone of Interest sounds like a complete nightmare. Have you seen that, Jordan?
Oof, I have not. Yeah, that one sounds tough. That's I actually haven't seen Oppenheimer either. So I guess I'm saving the two challenging watches for right up to the right up to the limit.
So you have seen Maestro?
Oh, no, I guess I haven't seen Maestro either. What's the uplifting factor on Maestro? Are you feeling good at the end?
Well, there's a lot of good music.
You know, I don't think it's like, it's certainly no surprise that Leni Bernstein passed away at whatever age he was when he died. Like, it's I guess the movie kind of covers more like, it's more like just kind of the relationship between him and his wife, I think. So I don't know how uplifting it is. Poor Things is funny.
I guess I haven't seen that one either. I'm excited for Poor Things. And I'll say American Fiction does have a lot of hard laughs in it. I really laughed a lot during American Fiction. And it's like satirical, but I don't think you'll leave going, that was a heavy movie. I think you'll leave thinking that was like funny and well done with some like satirical points for you to think about. Lots of laughs in American Fiction.
Which is wild because that's a pretty heavy concept for a movie. Like, I'm really excited about it, but I like hearing about it, I was like, oh, that's gonna be pretty heavy and challenging.
Yeah, it's got some of that in it, but the sense of humor is kind of like a South Park episode.
I love that.
Yeah, you can it's got that kind of like yeah, it's got this like this kind of sense of humor that kind of toes the line in a really fun way. Yeah, a lot
like
of
here's
laughs.
Here's what we want to say, but we still want people to watch it, so let's make it palatable.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I do not avoid or run from American Fiction at all. It's a hoot. I loved it.
All right. Well, thank you for all of your opinions and your honesty. And I think we need a moment to reflect. So let's go to a break and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, we're back, and I feel better. I feel really good about not seeing Killers of a Flower Moon. I've pretty much made that the plan. I've got a matinee of movies I'm not going to see. A double feature of Killers of the Flower Moon and Zone of Interest. And
let's watch them both on the phone back to back.
I'm just gonna have some laughs.
I'll send you a pizza.
Fiction and Anatomy of a Fall. Maybe I'll see Poor Things again just to have some laughs, because it's got some funny parts, but it's weird.
Do you have a lot of Oscar years where you've left out movies just because they look like bummers?
No, for like Best Picture especially, I've made a point of seeing everything every year for a while now. But a lot of times there's a lot of the lesser categories. If I try to see everything, like this year, there's 53 different films of varying lengths have been nominated for something. And so I usually would challenge myself to see all of them. But this year I'm just like, there's too many. There's too much media that I enjoy consuming these days that I can't just watch stuff just because it's on somebody's list. You know, like there's just too much stuff I like. I like way too many, you know, series and limited series and ongoing game shows. You know, I love game shows. So I'm not going to like not watch game shows to make time for, you know, horrible movie about genocide that I've already got a very strong opinion about what happened.
You like it. Good.
There's no time for the genocide movie when Madam Web is in theaters right now.
Well, that's, you know, that used to be the old me, but now I'm not that psyched about seeing Madam Web because the talk is so terrible for it.
It's getting to the point where that's what gets me pumped up to see comic book movies, because I have so much comic book movie fatigue that now I'm like, okay, I mean, if they're putting out a new Morbius, I'll put it on while my baby's rolling around and just see how dog shit it is.
Okay. The baby's shitting, the movie's shitting.
Yeah,
everybody's shitting.
Because that's what I have to watch during the day now, is like either movies I've already seen or like something that I don't care about. You know what I mean? Because like a movie, like a plain movie where you're not really, I don't have to pay attention because like right. He's doing his thing. So now I'm like, okay, like I watched 9/11 the other day, the Charlie Sheen, Whoopi Goldberg, the movie. You know what I mean? I was like,
all right,
it doesn't
matter.
Stop
making things up. Stop making stuff up.
That's not a real movie.
this show is about facts and the truth. But yeah, I hear you, Corey, but we got some games we got to play.
I know, I'm sorry.
So it's okay, but I hope you got out everything you needed to say.
I did.
On the matter, whatever that matter was. The first game we're going to play today is called ABC Adiz and Nuts. It's a spelling game. And today,
yes.
You don't really need to know how to spell. It's not that difficult, but
well, he's a bee, so he's really excited.
I know, that's true.
This is where I shine.
Yeah, he's really anytime a bee pops up, the bee is ready.
They named the contest after my people for a reason.
So basically what it is I tell you a word and then you take turns naming movies that begin with each letter in that word until we get to the end, and it's pretty easy. But if you say a movie that I wrote down ahead of time, if you match me, then you automatically win the game. And it really does happen. Ooh. It's happened to you, Amy, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Once. Yeah, it was thrilling. Happen.
And you may or may not have figured out the theme. I forget what happened there, but there is a theme. So the word we're going to spell, because I'm doing stand-up there at the Well Comedy Club on Saturday, February 24th, Bakersfield.
Ooh. Nice.
Bakersfield. So we'll start with Amy. First letter in Bakersfield is B. So Amy names any movie in the history of cinema. It begins with the letter B. As long as we all believe that that is accurate, she continues on in the game. But like I said before, if she matches what I've written down in advance, she wins the game. If not, we move on to Corey, and he gets the next letter, which would be A. Amy,
first of all, thank you for honoring my roots, my oaky roots, by picking Bakersfield. I appreciate that. A lot of my family lives there, as you know.
I am very excited to be going there, to be honest with you, and so I talk about it every chance I get.
Yeah, I did a show there a couple weeks ago. It was super fun.
Yeah,
well, there's nothing to fucking do there, so people are just like, hell yes.
It's in California, but it's not, you know, like in a not crowded part of it, so it's like
It's got Buck Owens's Crystal Palace. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, much fun. Bakersfield has like a country music history, and yeah, there's this kind of crazy country music restaurant with a Cadillac on the wall, and you know, all these famous nudie suits framed up. It's the best. I kind of like Bakersfield. I'm kind of a Bakersfield fan.
You guys are like hilarious. So I've had to spend a lot of time there in my life, and trust me, you don't.
It's fun to visit, Amy. It's fun.
It is. I'm glad they got a club. My mom was trying to like convince me to open a comedy club there for so long, and I'm like, I don't want to run a comedy club. But she was like, there should be something between LA and the Bay Area. I'm like, yeah, no shit. That's right. But like, I'm glad there's something now.
It's called San Jose, and it's great.
Yeah.
We already have it. It's called San Jose. We all love it.
San Luis Obispo.
Oh, yeah.
Santa Barbara. There's spots all along the way, you know. But, you know,
Not Bakersfield on I-5 really is, or 99.
Bakersfield really is the big, it's the big stop on the 5. That's for damn sure. And like, that's how much I like it. Is like, you know, I could just drive home after the show, but I'm going to, you know, actually stay in Bakersfield, really, you know, really take it in till about, you know, 11 a.m. the next day. All right. So we're spelling Bakersfield.
Antique shopping. Amy? Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go antiquing for sure. So B is the first letter in Bakersfield, Amy. So you don't know what the theme is. It's not movies that take place in Bakersfield. I'll tell you that much. So go ahead, Amy. Any movie that begins with B.
Okay. What if I only mentioned Barbie on this podcast? No other film.
That'd be, I would, Barbie. You know, if it fit the theme, I would do that just to be silly, because I knew it would already have come up at this point. But no, I didn't say Barbie. I said Beverly Hills Cop. So that's the first one. That's your first hint into what the theme might be. So now we go to Corey in the letter A.
Alien.
I like how disappointed you are in your answer. Because you figure you don't think there's a theme that could have Beverly Hills Cop and Alien.
I know that you have a theme, but I know that it's not just cop movies. You know what I mean? And also, I couldn't think of a cop movie with A, so I'm just blurting something out because I know I ain't getting the theme till at least 7 picks in.
I look at Alien as kind of a cop movie because they're all just space cops, and then they get some of their own get killed, so then the cops have to step up, and one cop ultimately saves the cat. I'm just all about spoiling movies today. I wrote down American Gangster.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Jordan, your letter is K, any movie.
Okay.
The letter K.
I'm gonna take a swing at getting the theme and say Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, I really like that. I like that a lot. You'll be disappointed to hear what I did write down, though. Because it was right there for the taking. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kindergarten Cop was the Killers of the Flower Moon of its day.
It really was. Right. It had, like, Killers of the Flower Moon, just like Kindergarten Cop, has some of the most fun catchphrases that people are out there saying right now.
Now, which of those movies has boys have penises, girls have vaginas? Which of the
That's
two
from
movies?
Kindergarten Cop.
Okay. I get them confused a lot.
Yeah.
Not a policeman, I'm princess.
It's not a tumor. We can do this all day. This is the game, people.
E is the next letter back to Amy. Amy.
Everything everywhere all at once.
I love that. I love that whenever it gets a mention. But I went with a motion picture called End of Watch. Hmm. It's about a guy, somebody crushes his Timex. R is the next letter to Corey.
Robin
Timex
Hood.
Timex is a hilarious reference. I'm sorry. You picked such an old watch. His
did
Swatch
you say
watch.
Timex?
I did. That's so funny. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't say like Rolex or something else, but yeah, Timex.
Timex. I have no notes about that joke, Doug. That is perfect. Let's go to lunch.
Corey R.
Robin Hood.
Oh yeah, you said that already.
I did.
Yeah, and that, you know, might not be the right answer, but it was like you took from the rich and gave to the poor.
Thank you.
The movie I wrote down is Rush Hour.
Mm. Damn it.
So I think everybody sees where this is going.
I do.
Jordan gets the next one, the letter S.
Do I have this? I don't know. Seven.
Oh, that is a good one. But it's funny. I always have to correct people. It's pronounced seven.
Oh, right. Excuse me.
The V is a seven as well.
I have a slight lisp. So
yeah. the motion picture that I wrote down, what I believe is the number one lowest ranked movie on Rotten Tomatoes that does not deserve it, a film called Super Troopers.
So good.
Super Troopers have a bad Rotten Tomatoes score?
Of course
it
does.
For some reason,
classic.
The critics were like quite mean to it, and they, you know, and it's not, it hasn't been long enough, I guess, to do that thing where they all change their minds later, you know. Yeah. But it's the rare. Because I'm always challenging people. Give me an example of a movie that got under 40% of Rotten Tomatoes that you think is great. Not just good or okay, because there's lots of movies that are just fine that don't get a great score. But what's a movie that, you know, is really falsely maligned? And it's hard to come up with because, you know.
Yeah.
As much as it sucks in some ways, because it's hurtful to filmmakers because they work hard on something and then just get this stupid number attached to it. But I feel like the number is not that crazy off most of the time.
Those types of comedies, I think, sometimes like take a while to get rediscovered. Uh-huh. Like MacGruber, I'm sure, has a terrible Rotten Tomatoes.
I think
score.
That's another
All
great
comedies
example.
Do.
Yeah, Wet Hot American Summer, MacGruber. I made a list recently of
Joe Dirt.
A handful of very there's some misunderstood.
Y'all are laughing like y'all are laughing ironically. I don't like that.
I was laughing because I was remembering Joe Dirt. I was remembering all the funny things that happened in that great movie.
Yeah, I was remembering that my hairstyle now resembles Joe Dirt, and I'm not happy about it. Okay, F is the next letter. Back to Amy.
Can I hear all the answers again?
Sure. We got Beverly Hills Please. Cop, American Gangster, Killers of the Flower Moon, End of Watch, Rush Hour, Super Troopers. Hey, you almost tricked me into saying the F.
Hey.
I actually don't know what the theme is, but that's fine. I bet the answer is Fools Rush In.
Oh!
Hilarious.
Excellent F title, but I wrote down Fargo.
Nice.
Okay.
The motion picture. The letter I is up next for Corey.
I robot.
It's as if AI itself was upset about I robot.
I had two, and right. I was like, I wanted to pick Inception, but I was like, no, even though it's kind of copy a little bit, Doug's going to go with iRobot because he'll think that I have too much pride to say it.
They're making a new I Am Legend movie with Michael B. Jordan.
I saw that.
Oh, cool.
Well, what is he like? Wasn't Will Smith like the last person?
I believe
I guess
so.
he ran into some people that were trying to like restart society, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be two legends.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. It just says it doesn't feel like there's enough room for one legend in this in that
we
world.
Are legend.
I hope he's just is Apollo Creed's son in that movie too. Like he just punched his way through civilization and he's like, "I'm still here, motherfucker."
I don't see any reason why Michael B. Jordan would ever stop being, you know, in good shape and taking his shirt off in films.
Me either.
It really seems like
because life is hard and it gets and it's hard to go to the gym all the time.
Nah.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
When everything's so depressing.
Not when they give you millions of dollars just to go to the gym, though. It's not as hard. It's still hard, but it's not as hard.
He definitely wants to win awards, so he might go the, you know, he might go the slovenly route, like put on a few pounds for a role.
A Christian Bale.
Yeah. He could be in The Whale Part 2.
I'd like to see a more achievable, realistic Michael B. Jordan out there. That would make me
You don't
feel
really
good.
See a lot of black guys go fat for the role. You know what I mean? I too would
No,
like
not
to see
unless
that.
It's, you know, a nutty professor, of course.
Yeah, right. The fake funny fat, sure. But like you're not seeing like what Brendan Fraser did. That's a white guy's game. You know what I mean? Like 50 Cent, when he did it, he went super skinny, you know?
Right.
Went home empty handed too.
Yeah. It happens, to, you know, you just never know if it's going to pay off. But boy, right. Did McConaughey and Jared Leto both did well with the losing a ton of weight for the Dallas.
I don't think Jared Leto
Fires
did anything
Club.
Different. I think he was just being weird and they were like, come here and be in this movie. And he was like, okay.
I'm only eating sand this month. Sure, fine, whatever.
Yeah, put on eyeliner and go over to this cowboy.
He's the first frail actor they saw. It's like, oh, you just happen to be frail? This is perfect. Let's shoot the scenes where he's dying first and give him some food. All right. Letters I. And who was it on, Corey?
Yes, and I said I robot for
yes,
the love of God.
Right. Yeah, I had to recap that because I forgot. I wrote down In the Heat of the Night.
Of course you did.
Yes. E is the next letter, Jordan.
Doug, can you remind me what your last E was? Is that an acceptable question?
It's a great question. It was the motion picture called End of Watch.
Okay. Yes. So I am out of E cop movies officially. I guess the closest thing I can think of is Edge of Tomorrow. Aren't there of cops in that?
Yeah.
Army cops that travel back in time.
Movie
yeah,
roles.
You should just win just based on logic there. That was a
thank you. Yes,
excellent move. but I agree with you. I couldn't think of another cop movie, so I just wrote down End of Watch again.
curses, Doug, you're tricky. You're so tricky. How are we?
Yeah.
Is that true?
It is true.
Of course it is. Whose show are you on?
letter L, back to you, Amy.
Lethal Weapon.
Let's go.
That is the correct answer. Yay! Let me get my special whistle. You did it.
So powerful.
Congratulations. you match it up. And of course, everybody knows what letter D is.
Die Hard.
Yeah, boy.
I was going to win, damn you, Amy.
You were going to win if you didn't win.
But you didn't.
If she had lost, you were going to win. But congratulations to Amy. And, you know, you don't win anything terribly special. Just going to go first in our next game. But the reason that Bakersfield, the reason I went with cop movies is as a homage to the short-lived but popular television comedy, Bakersfield PD.
Ooh. Yeah.
Kind of an interesting predecessor to Reno 911.
I don't know if that's how they prefer it to be said.
No, no, they correct me every time, but I can't let it go. I can't
never
stop
forget
saying it that way. Yeah, I always do it. But like I said, I'm going to be in Bakersfield at the Well with our friend Chad Opitz Saturday, February 24th, 7 o'clock, DougLovesMovies.com for ticket link and whatnot. And we've got one more game to play. We'll do that right after the break. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back, and Amy won the first game, so that means she gets to go first in a game, and then we'll switch the order around. So Amy will go first, and then it'll go to Jordan, and then to Corey, and back to Amy in a game that I call Johnson and Johnson and Griffith. Dakota Johnson's been getting a lot of flack on the internet lately. It seems like she can't do an interview without saying something that upsets the fanboys or just humanity in general. So since she's such a hot spot of conversation, I thought of this game. I'll name a movie, and then you tell me if it's got Dakota Johnson in it, or her dad, Don Johnson, or her mom, Melanie Griffith. So the options are Dakota, Don, or Melanie. I'll say the first one to Amy. If she misses, then Jordan gets a chance. And if Jordan misses, then Corey gets the gimme point because it'll be narrowed down to what the actual answer is. And he'll remember. Corey's a smart one like that.
I sure am.
Yeah. He'll totally pay attention. So. And then whenever somebody gets a point, the next person in order goes first on the next one. And first person to 3 points will be the winner. Don, Dakota, or Melanie. Amy, the first motion picture is a film called Goats. G-O-A-T-S. Goats. Yeah, you remember that movie.
Yeah, of course, because it had my favorite Don Johnson in it.
That's your answer is Don Johnson?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Jordan.
Oof. Yes.
Your
goats.
Chance to
yes.
steal.
Of course. Who's I would love goats? To steal. We all know this movie. Some say it's the greatest of all time. I happen to agree. Love this movie. Melanie Griffith, maybe?
Also incorrect.
Oh, man.
So Corey is going to do exactly what we just was describing.
Well, I guess.
Worked out perfectly for you, Corey. Do you remember?
I do. It's Madame Web herself, Dakota Johnson.
That's right.
Hooray.
Young Dakota, one of her first acting roles was in what is apparently a family adventure about goats. And so that's what it's called, Goats. I kind of want to see it.
I do too. I don't really, but
emphasis on the kind of, yeah.
Is it true that she went method for that movie and eats a whole can on screen?
I don't, I'm not going to comment on that one way or the other. Cause like I said, I think she's being unfairly maligned in the media for just having kind of a weird, kind of an odd sense of humor.
Nepo babies are not having a good go of it lately. So like they're already 10 points down going into anything.
It's true. It is a tough time to be a Nepo baby. Cause it's funny. I see the comments so much that are like people that are mad at her for whatever they're mad at her about. It's just very like she wouldn't be where she is today if it wasn't for her parents. And it's like, I guess so, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't think most people were like, hey, you're going to go see that new movie that stars the kid that Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith made. Like, I don't even know if people even put that together. She's related to them or even cares about them anymore.
It's also the only business where people give too much of a shit. Cause it's like you hire Joe and Son's plumber. You don't give a fuck that the sons are there because Joe's their dad. Like, of course they're going to plumb. What do you want them to do? You know what I mean?
They've got all the equipment already.
Right.
They got a fucking plumb, man. That's
and
what they
when
do.
It's like, yes, it's easier for her. Of course. Like now, if she starts acting like it's not, roast her. You know what I'm saying? But like, what do you she wants to act? And like, yeah, the producers are going to be like, yeah, we'll get your kid a meeting. What the fuck? What do you mean?
Yeah,
I do feel like there
my
are
my dad's
people-
Tom Hanks. So it's a hell of a thing for me to say. But, you know,
right. I love your reggae album, by the way, Corey.
Thank you. Bumbleclat. I'm not allowed to do that.
I do think there are like equal amounts of people who like are roasting her for her weird junkets. But I think there's a lot of people who love her for just like being honest, kind of not giving a fuck. I do think there's a special like fuck you attitude you have when you're the child of famous people, because like you'll never fail. Like even if you totally wash out, you'll be fine. You'll, you know, your parents could set you up with a job at like, you know, an event planning company or something if your acting doesn't work out. So I think she's going into these junkets with kind of a fun sense of like, fuck you.
It's a comic book movie too. Who gives a shit?
Don't ask me about memes. I don't know what memes are. You know, I don't, don't ask me about the MCU timeline. I kind of think her fuck you attitude during all this has been really fun. And I think she's going to come out of this like kind of smelling like a rose, I think.
Yeah, it just gives misogynists, you know, it just gives like fanboys like the opportunity to be like, how could they cast somebody in Marvel movie that can't name the Spider-Man films? Which, like, if you try to name the three Tom Holland Spider-Man films, your average fan is going to fuck it up because the titles are so dumb the way it's, you know, Almost Home, Coming Home, Homecoming. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
Like, it's they're already indistinguishable from one another.
I can't believe you take the job without knowing the difference between the Beyonder and the Living Tribunal.
And then she said funny ones when they asked her, like, Spider-Man 2, he's coming back. You know, it's just, she had a good sense of humor about it, I thought. Anyway.
Good for her.
All right. So Corey's on the board. Amy's up first again. Amy, the motion picture is called The 5-Year Engagement. Who's in that? Yes. Don, Dakota, or Melanie?
Don Johnson.
You're going Don.
DJ.
Don Johnson and 5-Year Engagement. No. Sorry. Sorry it had to be like this. Jordan.
You know, this is a movie I would claim to like a lot if you asked me about some of my favorite recent rom-coms, but I'll admit I don't know off the dome which one of these people is in this movie.
Right?
Gosh, I mean,
just based on the age of the other cast members, Dakota Johnson makes the most sense, but maybe Melanie Griffith is like kind of a stunt cast as a mom or a boss or something. I'm going to say Dakota Johnson, but it might be wrong.
Dakota is correct.
Hey!
Dakota Johnson does appear in the 5-year engagement. Probably like, doesn't he like, since it's 5 years, don't they sort of have a breakup at one point? And he like tries to date somebody else or something.
That sounds right.
Like that kind of part. She's like probably immediately shitty, so we can all feel good about him going back to Emily Blunt.
Really, yeah, thought I was going to get lucky there.
All right. So we got Jordan's on the board, but Corey has a chance to sprint ahead of everybody because he's first on this next round. Don, Dakota, or Melanie, a film called Underground Aces.
Underground Aces. Okay, that sounds like some old shit for sure. So I'm immediately going to take Dakota out of the running. Underground Aces. I've never heard my mom talk about it, so I'm going to take Don Johnson out of it.
That's great logic, by the way. That's insanely good logic.
Yeah, and so I guess I have to go with Melanie Griffith, which means if that's true, I have to go watch it because I've had a crush on Melanie ever since I saw... Ooh, I'm not going to say the movie because it might be a clue later. Yeah, I'll go with fucking Melanie Griffith.
Hey!
Oh.
That is correct. From 1981, so
okay. Ooh, that's
pretty
hot
early
Melanie
on, Griffin. And yeah, she's pretty young there. Might have even been late teens, possibly.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Forget what I said.
I can't. It's recorded. it's officially on the record. All right, but good job with that guess. Amy's back in the first position. For the next one, you need to get on the board here, Amy.
Okay.
The film is Fear City.
Mm-hmm.
Fear City. I don't recommend you shopping there. Party City is way more stuff that's like, especially if you're planning a party, do not shop at Fear City.
Fear City, bad
not
place
so
to get
spiders.
Latex balloons.
Fear City, who do you think's in that? Don, Dakota, or Melanie?
You know what I'm going to say, because it's Don Johnson.
What in doubt? You just Don Johnson?
I think it's right this time.
I think it isn't right. And I've got the answers right here. So I'm sorry.
None of them are Don.
I'm sorry, no. But there's still a chance for a big comeback here. If one of these next two gentlemen can't get this one, then you're right
that
back
be so
in
sad.
It.
I'm just going to say Wyatt Russell for my next one.
Jordan, Fear City, is it got Dakota or Melanie?
Gosh, great question. I don't know this movie. Sounds kind of like a throwback. You know, I think they did a lot of those neo-noirs in the 80s. Maybe it's one of those, a kind of Body Heat type movie. So that's something Melanie Griffith probably would have been in. Maybe I'll guess Melanie Griffith. That's my logic.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct. It is Melanie Griffith is in something. That's called Fear City.
It's in something.
Might be a movie, might be a commercial, who knows?
I don't know what went on with the Fear City, but all right, Corey, this is yours to lose because you're up first. And if you get this one right, you win. If you lose, Amy's still in it as a spoiler, essentially. Amy could still win this whole thing. I'm not going to lie to you.
Boy,
that'd be exciting. That'd be as exciting as that last Super Bowl. So, Corey, you ready?
Yes.
All right. Which one, Don, Dakota, or Melanie, is in a motion picture entitled Soggy Bottom USA?
I've definitely heard of that.
You have?
I've heard of it, not seen it, heard of it. And the only reason that I have is because I'm a big Coen Brothers fan, and Soggy Bottom Boys band. So when scrolling, like, Soggy Bottom just like caught my eye. And right. because of that, I know, like, I just know that it exists. And because of that, I know that it's old. So I know it's not Dakota. And for
everything
the love
that exists is old.
And for, well, I'm just saying, I saw this before I knew who Dakota Johnson even was. So, like, this was a long time ago. And for the love of God, there has to be a fucking Don Johnson on this. I mean, I know that Doug often does a thing where he doesn't put everybody on there, but I, for all the marbles, I'm saying that Don Johnson was in Soggy Bottom USA.
And I'm saying that you are correct.
Yay. Booyah, baby.
Boo.
You did it, you son of a gun. Corey sniffed it out. It was from 1981. And featured Don Johnson. He's had an interesting career, but congratulations, Corey. You're our winner once again. How many wins does that make for you?
I think six.
We gotta like make a limit or something.
That's fine by me.
Gotta have a proclamation or a parade or something. All right, so you get to promote yourself first. What would you like to promote?
I have a podcast with Trey Crowder called Putting on Airs. It's where two hillbilly dum-dums talk about fancy stuff. And we will actually be live streaming our 100th episode this Wednesday, February 21st. You can go, you can watch it at watchpoa.com. That is our YouTube. So go ahead and subscribe to that. So we're going to be live streaming it at 7 p.m. Eastern time, February 21st. That is this coming Wednesday. The podcast is Putting on Airs. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and we will talk to you about returning again. I know you probably don't want to fly out to Los Angeles for the show here Tuesday night. So
not this Tuesday night, but I would definitely fly out to Los Angeles if I had more notice, Doug. You know I would do anything for you.
All right, so 2 weeks from tonight, I'll see you. who knows? You know, if you keep winning like this, I might have to bring the show to you. I might have to come to your neck of the woods.
No, for real, though. We do our other podcast, Well Read, in Los Angeles, and I just have to, like, zoom in so I could come do your show and then actually be in the studio to do it. I'd love to fly out and do it. I got miles, baby.
Okay, baby. I don't care for calling each other baby. That felt terrible.
Miles for miles. Yeah,
it's back, baby. We're doing it, baby.
No, I don't care for it. Okay. All right, so,
well, I'm winning, baby. When I lose, you can stop getting called baby. How about that?
Okay, daddy.
There you go.
I love this dynamic. Roll with it.
Amy Miller, what would you like to promote? Another great appearance on the show. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Well, please follow me on Instagram at Amy Miller Comedy. And then this week, I'm going to be in Portland on Thursday at the Siren Theater and in Seattle at Left's Comedy Club all weekend. I got Ann Arbor, Michigan next month, March 21st. DC, Vegas, Fort Collins, all kinds of shit. You know what I mean? AmyMillerComedy.com.
Yeah. Go to,
you know, you have all kinds of shit.
Yeah. Go to her website, find when she's coming near you. And if near you, the nearest she's coming to you is three or four states over, make the effort. I'm telling you.
Unless you have a soggy bottom, and then please don't.
Yeah, soggy bottom is not allowed. Why would they name themselves the Soggy Bottom Boys? Like,
they just got out of jail, Doug. They weren't thinking straight. They were trying to find a treasure, and one of their friends had just been loved up and turned into a horny toad.
Do not seek the treasure. Sorry to use your culture as a costume.
I don't care. I'm not one of them. I love it. Mock us all you want. We're down here laughing at it. I don't care. And also, we deserve it.
Yeah, I think so. Jordan Morris, the graphic novel, YA novel, out soon. Pre-order it. Youth Camp is what it's called.
Youth group. I'll correct you there slightly, I've baby. Thank you. No.
I did not stick the landing. Oh, I
you nailed it. You nailed very close. Youth so Camp. Close. Good idea for a sequel. Thank you, Doug. Yeah,
you're
youth
welcome.
Group. Available for pre-order now. It's got Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibes. It's got Shaun of the Dead vibes. bit.ly/youthgroupbook is a website you can go to and see the cover, a bunch of the pages, and you can get all the pre-order links. bit.ly/youthgroupbook. Thanks for having me, baby. This has been so much fun.
You could do the sequel could be called Youth Group Goes to Camp.
I love it, Doug. I'll give you
Yeah. I know what you used group last summer.
you'll be in the special thanks. I appreciate that. What an idea.
The 5-year youth group. Douglas Movies back at the Improv here in Los Angeles Tuesday night with Moshe Kasher, Guy Branum, and a third exciting guest to be named later. I'll be in Vegas March 1st and 2nd at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club with our friends Jeff Tate and Carlos Rodriguez. Those will be super fun shows. And all of my dates are at douglasmovies.com. Thank you again, Corey Ryan Forrester, Jordan Morris, and Amy Miller.
Thanks, babies.
I love you, babies. Good night, babies.
Oh, my babies.
Oh, babies.
Kisses to babies.
Yeah, I wish the closing line today was a line that had the word baby and it'd be perfect. But I write it down ahead of time. And as always, I know the perfect place. You guys will love it. Trust me.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause.